And then Lama Tsongkhapa further says that, so this sutra states that even the collection of the aggregates of the self is the basis of designation of the self, since that the designative basis should not be that to be designated as such. Even the collection of the aggregates is not the self. So then by citing the citing a quote from Supplement to the Middle Way, he says that on top of each of these aggregates not being the self, because they are a piece of designation, so too the collection or the collection of these aggregates as well is a piece of designation. As such, it is not the self or the person which is designated upon these things. So here, the kind of the summary he then makes is that there isn't a self which is totally independent of mere designation. So that gives you the connotation of the absence of true existence, which here is referred to as emptiness. And then also at the same time, he says that yet the self does exist, but by view of mere designation. So that that kind of explains the validity or the mode of existence of the self. So then it says that this self is nothing. This self of the person is not at all something pointable among the designated bases. So then the mode of the position as how to posit the existence of this self has to be done by view of mere designation, mere nomination. So this understanding of the nature of the mere nomination and mere designation is said to be very crucial to understand the very subtle selflessness of the person, which is very unique of this tenet or treatise. Establishing the absence of true existence or natural existence of the self. So there in the great exposition of the stages of part enlightenment, it employs the syllogism or the premise of the seven corners or seven corners to establish the substance of emptiness. And then here in this text it employs the technique of four essentials to establish the emptiness of a person. So the four essentials are the essential of ascertaining or essential of identifying the object of negation, ascertaining the absence of oneness with the parts, and ascertaining the absence of the distinctness from its parts, and the absence the essential of the entailment. So by employing these four essentials, so this text here, in this text, Lama Tsongkhapa establishes the emptiness of the self. So it says that first of all, you have to apply the first essential, that is the essential of identifying the object of negation. So what thing is to be actually negated? So in this sense, in this case, it is the intrinsic or the true existence of the self, something beyond mere nomination. So first you have to identify that. So that qualifies the essential of identifying the object of negation. And the second one, the essential of ascertaining the absence of one with its parts. So say if you take the self as the self into consideration or the person, then when you see if the person is just one with its aggregates, so if you say that these aggregates, it is one with the aggregates, so there are many flaws in relation to this this distorted view. Because just as there are many aggregates, you have to say that there are many selves. And just as there is only one self, you have to equally say that there are many aggregates. So as such, you realize that the self is not one with the aggregates or not one with the basis of designation. And the next essential, the essential of ascertaining the absence of distinctness from its parts. So you're after realizing that this self or the person is not one with the different aggregates, then if you try to see whether or not that is something distinct from the parts, again, it is not findable that way. So that is the ascertaining of the distinctness from its parts. And next, the entailment. That is, once you establish that this self does not exist as one nor as distinct from its parts, so the entailment or the privation is that everything which lacks oneness or distinctness from its parts entails its absence of intrinsic reality or objective reality. So this will then lead to the conclusion that the self does not exist independently, is thereby establishing the emptiness of the self. Next, how the person arises an illusion. So here, when you speak about as illusion or illusion-like, so it means that it is illusion, it is like illusion in the sense that it does not exist the way it appears. Because when you look at the way this self or the person appears to a consciousness, so it appears to exist from its own side or objectively or independently. So, from the point of view of this special, this unique system, Prasangika, they say that the object of negation, so in this sense, in this case, the independent existence, does appear to the eye, even the sensory consciousnesses, on top of being perceived by the mental consciousness. So this is the way the self or the person appears to our consciousness. It appears in the aspect of the object of negation, in the aspect of true existence. But in actuality, if you examine whether or not that self or the person really does exist the way it appears, so by applying those four essentials, we realize that no, the self does not exist that way. So then we see a disparity between the way things appear to a consciousness and the way things really exist. So it is because of this disparity that then we start seeing the person or the self as illusion-like, something which is having possession, an element of deception, appearing as true and being absent of this true existence. So after establishing the absence of the true existence of the self, and yet when the self does exist as truly, so this is what we should understand as the illusion-like aspect of the person. After that, again, Lama Tsongkhapa says that then Lama Tsongkhapa tries to distinguish between the self and the person when they speak about in the context of the substance of person and phenomena. So here, Lama Tsongkhapa says that the persons like human and the devas or the celestial beings, so they are classified as persons. And those things like eyes, ears, and so forth, they belong to the category of phenomena. And this very self, though lacking intrinsic existence, and yet because of its having the quality of dependent origination, so the functionality, the aspect of the functionality of the self is tenable. So it is not something that you are simply to just leave it there, saying that, oh, nothing exists. And also that since that you are able to establish the authentic absence or the emptiness of intrinsic reality, it is because of this that a kind of emptiness that you have established is not something mentally created, mentally contrived. Mm-hmm. And since that, this absence of intrinsicality is something which everything that you can think of, the entire universe, as something which is existent, everything should qualify that characteristic, absence of intrinsicality. It is because of this that this emptiness is not partial. It pervades to every phenomena. And then on top of that, while we are reflecting on this very concept of selflessness, or the selflessness of true existence, it would be the remedy to overcome all kinds of delusions which apprehend true existence. And next, although everything that we speak of, and although it is this emptiness is described as inexplicable, indescribable, but in actuality that is set in relation to the direct perception of the Arya beings, and not that it is inexplicable at all, because that can be explained, that can be understood. So these are the different characteristics that one should understand in relation to emptiness, the authentic, the proper understanding of emptiness. So there in Tibet, there were two Mongolian monk debaters, and one. So there's one among the debater who was asking the question. And then the Mongolian monk debater, he was the answerer. And then when he was unable to answer properly, so he was actually trapped by the all kind of questions from the questioner. So then he started saying that, oh, actually I'm facing problem with my language. Otherwise, the actual understanding of what you are debating is well kind of understood. So I really understand that so well, but I couldn't express it well. So likewise, so when you speak about emptiness to be something inexpressible, so you, you can actually say that, oh, it is inexpressible, although I understand it fully. And next, establishing the selflessness of phenomena. So, how does the emptiness of the selflessness of phenomena is done? So that is done by two. By, first of all, employing the same kind of logic as stated earlier. That is, by establishing the understanding of how everything is composed of parts. And that employing the reason that if that phenomena, if because it is consisted of various parts, it should be, if it exists truly or independently, it should be either one with the different parts of our parts, and then it should be either distinct from its parts. So, but in actuality, it is not found in both. Both the things do not hold true. So it is because of that, the only thing we are left to say is that phenomena does not exist objectively, does not exist from its own side. So it is on this basis that you establish how the self or the phenomena is absent of true existence, no objective true existence. So first, making a tea offering. The first way of establishing the selflessness of phenomena is by extending the same reason that we have done earlier in relation to phenomena as the basis of emptiness. So that is by way of applying the logic of our parts. So just examining if that phenomena is one with its parts or distinct from its parts, and finding that it's neither one nor distinct from its parts. As such, there is no independent, no objective phenomena. So that absence of the independent or objective phenomena is the emptiness of that phenomena. So this is the logic that we have actually borrowed from the logic employed at the time of establishing the emptiness of person. And second is establishing the emptiness of phenomena by employing some new logic or reasoning. So, in the great exposition of the teachings of power to enlightenment, so it is actually employed the reasons that are the logics employed in the root wisdom and also the four cornered logic. So, in short. So then what exactly should be understood here is that when I speak about the emptiness of true or independent existence, it doesn't mean that everything is mere illusion, everything is mere non-existent, merely like kind of not something that your mind has the full power to create anything as he or she likes. Because the reason, the underlying reason is, it is because that because of a kind of a specific cause, we experience the specific result, respective result. So all this indicates that it is not something that that the mind has power to create as much as or whatever it likes. So when we speak about the law of causality, as to how the results come about through ceasing, through the cessation of the cause. So all these things, again, although they are mere designation, and then we are actually, as when are asked as to when that cause ceased and when that result arise, so mentally we cannot actually say it for sure, but in actuality it does occur that way. And again, as for example, we see we speak about a small child, and then after many years he or she is getting old. So if you are to really ask as to when that person is really grown old, again, we cannot say it precisely, because it's not the case that the person is so young today and early tomorrow morning when you get up he's already old. So this is not the case. So as such, it is not the case that the mind can fabricate, mind can create anything that it likes, but rather the mode of existence has to be by way of following the rules and regulations of the nature, the law of causality, and all these things.